So it's my pleasure next to introduce Ellen Langhans, who is a program manager with healthfinder.gov. And for those of you who don't know, healthfinder.gov is part of the Department of Health and Human Services and the Office of Disease Prevention and Health Promotion. And she's going to talk today about not just how this resource can provide people with information, but how it can help them to make more informed decisions. So we'll turn it over to Ellen.
Hello, thank you for joining me today. So as Doug said, I'm going to be talking about healthfinder.gov and what we call our decision support model. As many of you know, I'm sure decision support is part of what is called the care model in doctor's offices. So we kind of adapted that to HealthFinder to help the public make informed health decisions. I also don't have any relationships to disclose. So just a little outline of the presentation. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the website, so I'll give a little bit of background on HealthFinder and then talk about our outreach strategy and how we are measuring our decision support and our return on investment, and then talk a little bit about where we're headed. So healthfinder.gov was actually, it was a website started in 1997. I asked my boss, I'm like, we had the internet in 1997? And we did, apparently. So it started as a health portal, really, to just information around HHS. It's a congressionally mandated website to provide health information to the public. But we actually did a big redesign in 2008, and as you can see from this slide, we really wanted to focus on health literacy. As Judy was saying in her presentation, that's a huge barrier to getting really good health information and reaching the public. So we redesigned the site using health literacy principles. It was based on proven clear communication practices, and we did test it with over 750 participants in 14 different studies. So we focus on wellness and prevention. That's really the main parts of HealthFinder that we want to get to the public, sort of getting away from that legacy health portal of information and really focusing on what can you do to stay healthy at home and what can you do to be ready for the doctor's office when you go and what can you do to take care of your loved ones as well, because we all know that when we're searching online, we're not necessarily just searching for us, we're also searching for loved ones. So the two main parts of HealthFinder are what's called the Quick Guide to Healthy Living, which I will talk about in the next slide, and also our My HealthFinder tool. So I don't know if you can see the mouse in this. So it's up in the right-hand corner, and it's a tool that I will also talk about in just a few minutes. So the redesign was important because, again, as I said, health literacy is a big issue, especially with all of the complex health information that is available now, especially on the internet. And we organized it not by disease or a specific body part. We try to organize the site around actions people can take. So it is organized under categories that make sense to people when they're searching for information, but we really want them to take action on the information. So the Quick Guide to Healthy Living is our wellness information, and it features 12 overarching categories that when you drill down, include over 100 topics and tools that focus on prevention and wellness. So this is an example of what our nutrition and fitness topic looks like. So the Quick Guide to Healthy Living synthesizes information from across HHS, but it really takes the prevention message and takes out what those action steps are that people can take to stay healthy. So this is an example of our eHealthy topic. You can see that there's information from across the government, so there's CDC, there's the Let's Move Initiative, stuff from NHLBI. So we take the important prevention messages, but then we link people to other trusted resources where if they want more information, they can get it. But we try not to bog them down with that information here because we all know it's very intimidating to look for health information anyway, and when you're just given all of this information, you don't really know what to do with it. So if they want to go further, they can. If not, then we give them the action steps that they can take. So basically, it's what you need to know, why it's important, and then how to take action on it. So the My HealthFinder tool is actually a joint project between our office, the Office of Disease Prevention and Health Promotion, and the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. So it's based on the recommendations from the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, and people can come to the site, enter who you're trying to look for. Are you trying to look for yourself? Are you looking for a loved one? Or are you looking for your child? You can enter that information, the age, and then whether or not you're pregnant. And then you get personalized recommendations based on the Preventive Services Task Force, and we also have recommendations from the Bright Futures Guidelines, the IOM recommendations for women, and then the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. So you get this list. So at the top, that's recommendations for this example is a woman age 50, all of the recommendations that all women should get. And then based on family history and other risk factors, you have another list under that. That's other things that you may want to talk to your doctor about. We recognize that, you know, every person isn't going to opt for every screening they could ever want or get, but we encourage people to talk with their doctor about it based on your own history and your own risk factors. And all of this information links back to the information in the quick guide, so when you look at this list and you're like, well, I don't really know about this topic, we link you back to that information in the quick guide so you can get more information on it. So getting into our outreach strategy and what we're trying to help the public do, so we really have four overarching objectives in our mission, which is helping the public make informed health decisions. So we want to provide accurate information, we want it to be timely, and it needs to be actionable. So we want to increase people's understanding of and action upon what the key principles of healthy living are, and we do this by providing clear and simple messages that people can take to take small steps. We encourage small steps, not big, you know, things don't happen overnight, but small steps that people can take to live better. So, and we try and tie it into the personal benefits, because we all know there's a lot of barriers to changing behavior, so we try and focus on the benefits that people will get from these. We try to build consumer confidence that health behavior change is personally attainable by focusing on those small, actionable steps that people can take right away. We're building an online presence that supports people. So instead of just having this one website, we're building a different, more outreach around Facebook and Twitter, which I'll get into in 1 second. And then we're providing decision support around the preventive services that are available and covered under the Affordable Care Act. And we provide resources through My Health Finder that helps people learn which ones are available to them and which ones they should talk to their doctor about. So this is just an overall strategy visual. You can see the website is really the focal point of it, and we have a lot of outreach strategies that focus on the website, but you can see it's sort of an interactive thing. So we have what's called our Health Finder Monthly Spotlight that just spotlights information on the website each month. But we'll promote that through Twitter and through Facebook. You know, when we're coming out with a new one, we'll post about it on Facebook and ask people if they're subscribed yet. Our office also does the Healthy People Initiative. So we have, we work with the Go Healthy People handle to focus on individual behavior changes that people can take or make. So we know that people are going online to look for health information, and we recognize that. So our decision support model focuses on adapting to that and giving them credible and actionable information. We're giving them the tools that they can take to use and make different healthier decisions. And actually, in the fall of last year, so it's been just over a year, we developed and followed a strategic plan to implement our decision support services information and expand our reach and engagement. So we do that by our online, what we call our online community of support. We don't just like to call it our outreach channels. We think of it as a community, because not only are we trying to engage in discussions with people in our community, but we also want them to engage in discussions with each other. I know that I'm a lot more likely to take steps towards doing something if I know that other people in my network are doing the same thing. It's a lot easier to do if you know that someone else has done it and has succeeded. So we really try and build that community. And we encourage people to talk with each other, share tips and tools that worked for them. So the focus is really on just it's a community, not just our outreach tool directing people to the website. So this is our Facebook page that we launched just before New Year's, when everyone's ready to make those resolutions. So we thought it was a very timely time to start that. And we kicked off what we call the Be Healthy Your Way Challenge. So every week we focus on a different health topic, and we post a challenge, just a small something that people can do, you know, whether it's taking a quiz like I'll show you on the next page, to find out more information about something, or using the My Health Finder tool to find out which services are recommended for you, or, you know, sharing with others or liking a comment if you made half of your fruits and vegetables at dinner. So it supports not only stuff from Health Finder, but also other initiatives in our office, like the dietary guidelines and the physical activity guidelines. We really try and get across all those really important messages. So we do ongoing challenges to encourage our fans to take our fans. They love us. I guess if you like something, you're a fan of it, but, you know, our community members to take those small steps. So this is actually, this is before the timeline, so the visuals look a little bit different, but you can see what some of our weekly challenges look like. So on the left, we our overall theme, so we usually have an overall monthly theme, and then we break it down into weekly topics. So in June, we had the overall theme of reproductive and sexual health. And so in June 12th to June 15th, we focused on Men's Health Week. And as you can see, we wanted to encourage people to test their health knowledge. So, you know, like this comment if you took this quiz. And we use our own names on the post to engage our users and lead by example. We encourage people to share their stories. So there I am with that post. And then earlier in June, we focused on healthy pregnancies. So we also try to make real connections between people in our office and give them a credible voice. So we have a new director, Dr. Don Wright, and he is our chief medical advisor on Health Finder. So every week he'll post something as well. So we get that credible kind of medical perspective. This is our Health Finder Twitter account. We have a pretty significant following, which is really great. So we do weekly health chats. We also do bigger health chats. We actually just had a big chat on health literacy last week, which is really great. And we do that every October, but we do weekly chats. So we point people back to Health Finder on Facebook or Health Finder website and encourage people to ask questions and share resources. And then here's an example of one of our monthly spotlights. This was in August when the new preventive services were took effect, so we encouraged breastfeeding help for new and expecting moms. So to get into a little bit about our outreach and engagement and how we measure that, in addition to tracking our web metrics, because we obviously want to know how many people we're reaching, how many people are visiting our website, we really wanted to measure what the return on engagement was, or return on investment was, with those posts that promoted the preventive services that are covered by the ACA. So we operationalized it as, one, the online provision of that information written in plain language, and then, two, the opportunities that we gave people to engage in that content. So we measured it by people reached and engaged. We sort of lumped them together, which we're reevaluating right now because we exceeded our target, which is great. But our reach was, you know, how many people follow us on Twitter, and out of that, there's a crazy algorithm for how many people of those people might actually see that post on a given day, how many emails we send out in our subscribers, and how many people are posting on our Facebook or liking that content. And then the engagement is actually when they like it and when they retweet, when they share with their networks. So we started out reaching and engaging about 11 people per dollar spent. And so the dollar spent is how much does it cost to repurpose the content, post it, and monitor it. And so we wanted to reach 16 people per dollar spent, and we actually reached that in, I think, like 4 months, which is great. So we are currently reevaluating, and we're trying to break it down even more. So we know that people are going to come into our content maybe through more than one channel. So we're trying to measure it by channel instead of by individual people. We want to measure their reach engagement and then the action that they're taking upon it. So we're kind of breaking it apart. We're still measuring how many people we're reaching per the cost of the service that we're providing, but then we're looking at the rate of engagement and influence. So of those people that we're reaching, how many are actually engaging with the content? So who are our super users? And we're still sort of evaluating how we are going to measure that in process. So just a little bit of our future directions. We actually are doing another Health Finder redesign. We're actually calling it a refresh. It's not as big. But as you may have seen on slide 3 of my presentation. It's a little bit busy on the homepage, so those people who are coming into the website might not know that they're there for prevention and wellness because there is so much information because it is a legacy site. So we are trying to focus on the prevention and wellness message. So we're refreshing the homepage, refreshing the landing pages so people know that when they're there, that's what they're getting. We are also continuing our outreach. We have a Spanish website that we just did a big push for in Hispanic Heritage Month because, you know, there's all sorts of populations that we want to be reaching. I wish we could do one in every language, but right now it's only Spanish Health Finder. We do have a content syndication and API for people to use our information. And then you guys are the first to know. It's not official yet, but we are going to be doing an app challenge because it's important to reach people where they are, and people are using a lot of apps right now. So we are going to be doing an app challenge soon to create a Health Finder mobile app. So stay tuned for that. Look for that on challenge.gov, hopefully in the next month. And thank you very much.